Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to have this reference to Patrick's teaching on chapter 22 on the tools of prayer. Pray that you bless this teaching, Lord, and that you would speak to us mightily through it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to take this out of Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 4 to 11. And I titled this, The Elements to Praying. The Elements to Praying. So I want to look at Nehemiah's prayer. Let's begin in verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah had just gotten the news on how bad Jerusalem was. I mean, the gates were burnt and tore down. Jerusalem was burnt down, and he mourned. It just really broke his heart. So, you know, this guy, Nehemiah, he was an important man. Even before he had his success in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, many important people are arrogant with others, and often arrogant before God. But Nehemiah didn't show this kind of attitude. He was a man of courage and boldness. He also humbled himself before God, even to the point of tears and fasting. You know, in my life, I've found that weeping to the world is a sign of weakness. But in the sight of God, it's a sign of strength. Paul wept in Acts 20, verse 19. Jeremiah the prophet was known as a weeping prophet in chapter 9, verse 1. He wept over the sins of the people. Now, it is said that in Jeremiah's 75 years of ministry, he never had one convert. He's known as a weeping prophet. In Luke 19:41, Jesus wept with compassion over the city of Jerusalem. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept with compassion for the people and over what sin had done to the world that he had created. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I want to ask those of you who are listening to this teaching right now, when was the last time you wept over the sins of others? Or over their spiritual state? I mean, is it even in your heart to weep for the things of God? Here Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. That wall around Jerusalem was finished in 52 days. You know, this is what I love about Nehemiah. He wasn't presumptuous. He knew God could do what he asked him to do, what he asked God to do. That's why he comes submissively and seriously. A guy named Cyril Barber said, the self-sufficient do not pray. They merely talk to themselves. The self-satisfied will not pray. They have no knowledge of their need. The self-righteous cannot pray. They have no basis on which to approach God. So there's an acrostic for prayer. It's ACTS, ACTS. A stands for adoration. C for confession. T for thanksgiving. And S for supplication. And you know what's interesting here? Each of these are found in Nehemiah's prayer. Well, let's look at this first element, adoration. In verse 5, we read, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. So here we get a picture of Nehemiah's regular prayer life. He prayed day and night. I mean, it's short, but It acknowledges several attributes of God. We see his sovereignty. We see his love, his faithfulness. We see God's ability to see and hear all that is going on, including Nehemiah's prayer. So I want to pay particular attention to the fact Nehemiah doesn't go into the other elements of his prayer until he has reminded himself of what he's doing and the greatness and character of God to whom he's directing his prayer. The second element in his prayer is confession. Confession of sin. Verse 6. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Nehemiah knew the sin of the children of Israel had caused God's judgment to come upon them. Well, we know history tells us it resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem. So if Jerusalem was to be restored, it would need to be restored on the basis of a confession of these sins, and Nehemiah is specific about them. He says, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Notice that his confession includes himself in acknowledgement of these sins. Now, there are two important principles here. The first one, Nehemiah recognizes the principle of solidarity. He's one with the people. His sins are their sins, and their sins are his sins. He doesn't try to distance himself from them. Second, Nehemiah recognizes he is himself a sinner. The third element in this acrostic is thanksgiving. Verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong arm. The covenant was conditional. If the people obeyed God, he would bless them. God would establish them securely in the land. But if they disobeyed God, God would scatter them, as God had done through the overthrow of the northern kingdom in 721 BC and the southern kingdom in 586 BC. Well, knowing God's word, Nehemiah looks at this promise because even though it contains a warning of judgment following disobedience, it also speaks of a time of blessing if the people would repent. You know why Nehemiah's prayer was answered? It was based on God's purposes and God's promises. Nehemiah needed the king's permission. He knew it could mean death to approach the king. But you know what else he knew? He knew his God had called him to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. So if his God called him, God's going to take care of the king. Brings me to the fourth element in the Acts acrostic, supplication. Having acknowledged God's greatness, having confessed his own sin, having looked at God's promises, he now lays his petition before God. Verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah recognizes, first of all, the king is the key to the plan he's already developing. Secondly, God is the key to changing the king's heart. Now, if you've ever tried to get someone to do what they don't want to do and like doing it, you know how tough that can be. Proverbs 21, verse 1 tells us, I love this verse, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, God turns it wherever he wishes." Looking at Nehemiah's prayer life, the first of his accomplishments was his persistence. We know he was persistent in his prayers. I mean, Nehemiah says the delegation from Jerusalem came to him in the month of Kislev, which would be November and December. In chapter 2, the king hears Nehemiah's request and grants permission to return to Jerusalem and rebuild its walls. It's the month of Nisan, which would be March and April. So 4 or 5 months passed between the time Nehemiah began to petition God regarding Jerusalem and the time his requests were answered. You know, some are great in persevering with people. But before Nehemiah persevered with others, he persevered with God. And we know what happened. He prevailed. Chuck Swindoll said the king was a non-believer. Nehemiah didn't quit his job because God had called him, but he went to God in prayer to touch this unbeliever's heart. God either move on the king's heart or remove him. I mean, Nehemiah was just straight out. I see 6 points in chapter 1 that we can glean from. First, Nehemiah was concerned with the state of Jerusalem and his people, the Jewish people. Secondly, Nehemiah praised God and acknowledged God's greatness and awesomeness. Third, he reminded God of his promises. Fourth, he confessed Israel and his sins. Fifth, he asked God for personal help. And then sixth, he waited for God's timing, which was a period of 4 months. You know, it just comes down to, we need to be men and women of prayer. We need vision, especially when it comes to our family and our church. Faith involves a lot of prayer. The problem I find with many Christians today, when they pray, they rarely ever pray in regards to things pertaining to others. I mean, a leader is a people person who sees the needs of others and grieves over them. Nehemiah saw the need and he wept. But even more important than his tears was the fact he prayed. The guy was a prayer warrior. He was a man of prayer. Nehemiah valued his friendship with people. But even more than that, he valued his fellowship with God, since it would be God who is able to change hearts, to move kingdoms, and to provide for our needs. Father, we thank you for your word, these elements to praying. Lord, I pray that as we pray, that we would always be thinking of others too. There's a lot of people hurting today, and they need our prayers. And so, God, go before us, Lord. I pray that you would touch those who will be listening to this teaching, that you would make them men and women of prayer. And if they don't know you, Father, that you would tug on their hearts, that they would commit their lives to you and make you the Savior and Lord of their lives, of their spirit, as they commit their lives to you. Go before us now, Lord. Bless the rest of our day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.